The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The US and Iran are apparently in indirect talks to extend the 2-week ceasefire. So what does this mean for a more permanent deal being made anytime soon? Sally Lockwood is a journalist in the Middle East and joins me now. Sally, thank you for being with us again. What is the latest on this, and do we know exactly what is happening?
Well, the noise is coming out of Iran and Pakistan when it comes to their officials this morning. Certainly make it sound like they are moving towards another round of talks, but no date has yet been confirmed. It does sound promising, though. There was a Pakistani delegation that visited Tehran yesterday, led by Field Marshal Azim Munir, the Pakistani army chief. And after the trip, a senior Iranian official said to Reuters that there are greater hopes for extending the ceasefire following that visit, and that holding a second round of talks now does look on the cards. They also said that the trip helped reduce some difference in some areas between the two sides, but fundamental disagreements remain over nuclear issues. Now, that is not a surprise. There have been fundamental disagreements over nuclear issues for decades between the United States and Iran. But what I think we could potentially see happening, which I think a lot of officials and certainly Gulf states would like to see happen, is that if they do have a second round of talks in Islamabad next week, that they focus on the most urgent issue of the Strait of Hormuz, which is still essentially in a state of largely paralysis, and that all the other details that they continue to debate and argue are dealt with in a second round of, or in some sort of secondary deal, because of course they are important issues, but they are going to take a long time to iron out. I mean, it took the Obama administration nearly 2 years of talks to agree on a nuclear deal last time. That the fact that the Trump administration are attempting to do it in a 2-week ceasefire really feels extremely unrealistic, but they need to agree on something in order to de-escalate the situation and, of course, relieve all this pressure on the global economy when it comes to fuel prices.
Because we are dealing with the largest ever disruption of the global oil and gas market and supplies to the market because of what's happening in the Strait. There's also the issue of all of the seafarers who are trapped in the Gulf as a result of all of this. And they've been there, 20,000 of them or so, for weeks on end, 6 weeks now.
I know, poor people, they didn't sign up for this, did they? And they've found themselves stranded in this, you know, state of paralysis in the Strait of Hormuz, which has fast become a battleground, the battleground now when it comes to the war in Iran. And not only is it dangerous, but they're also running out of supplies. I mean, it's hard to imagine what it's like for them living, you know, in these conditions with, you know, they've had drones and missiles flying over their heads for weeks. And now they can't even, you know, get very basic items. I do know that there are small vessels going to and from the shoreline here in the UAE and in Oman delivering supplies. But I also know that ship owners are getting extremely frustrated. I spoke to one shipbroker this week who said to me, you know, it's not just a case of not being able to move these ships through the Strait of Hormuz, but we can't even get fuel for our ships in other parts of the world now, because the situation has become so intense and the ripple effect is so widespread. But I think there is a real frustration that, you know, what is causing this paralysis in commercial shipping through the Strait of Hormuz is that largely it's deemed far too risky and far too dangerous for tankers and commercial ships to try and pass the Strait of Hormuz. They're not going to be insured. For as long as their insurance companies and their ship owners aren't wanting to take the risks, then, you know, the situation remains as it is. But we've seen that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard have allowed some vessels to pass. So there clearly is a safe channel there for ships to make that crossing. And we've now got the US military with this blockade in place as well, stopping vessels going in and out of Iranian ports in an effort to try and put some economic pressure on the Iranian regime to try and force them to reopen the strait. You know, bombarding the country didn't work. They're trying now to, you know, choke them economically. none of this is going to happen very quickly. And, you know, for as long as this situation remains the way it is, there are very urgent issues that are continuing to grow, whether it's the level of jet fuel in Europe. One oil executive said to me that if the Strait of Hormuz isn't reopened by next month, then next month it could be a real issue, jet fuel in Europe. And on top of that, you know, you've got much more urgent issues on a very human level with countries in Asia who, you know, are struggling to, you know, make ends meet now. Some, you know, they've had to close schools one day a week in certain countries. They've had to scale back on school food programs. You know, these are very real consequences that hit these very vulnerable countries very quickly.
Sally, thank you very much for joining us. That's Sally Lockwood, who's a journalist in the Middle East.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.